J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
This is Bro on the World Film Beat, Breaking Glass at Cannes 2019, which features zombies and deadbeat tax evaders lumbering on the boardwalk. Welcome to Cannes 2019. Zombies, aliens, and manhunters walk the theaters in Jim Jarmusch's The Dead Don't Die, the Cannes premiere, and the Brazilian Bacaru, where a North Brazilian Afro village is stalked a la The Most Dangerous Game by tech-savvy Anglo killers. These are just two of several versions of the apocalypse on screen, while the off-screen apocalypse, which these films are reacting to, continues apace. The Kering Luxury Goods Company, largest in the world and key sponsor of the festival, has just paid $1.25 billion for tax evasion. Meanwhile, Monsanto and Coca-Cola have been implicated in padding and suppressing their own company scientific research about, in the first case, the alleged cancer-causing elements of Monsanto's pesticide used in much of our food, and in the second case, denying research on the diabetes and obesity results of indulging in Coke's sugary drinks. The European elections take place just as Cannes ends, and France's President Macron is attempting to convince everyone here that the only choice is between his neoliberal globalists in En Marche, which features the market-oriented and anti-labor policies of this president of the rich, as he is now often referred to, and the neoliberal nationalism of Marine Le Pen, who under the guise of being for working people simply promotes anti-immigrant hate, while economically also doing the bidding of the rich. In the U.S., it's like saying there's absolutely nothing beyond Joe Biden and Donald Trump, while in Macron's case, the entire gambit is not to encourage democracy, but to prevent it by keeping people who might really vote for change away from the polls. This 2019 edition also evokes two previous versions of the festival. The first is the 80th anniversary of 1939, the first year where the festival was slated to open, but which instead showed only Hollywood's Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then closed because the Nazis invaded Poland the day the festival began. The Nazis were eventually defeated, but in the opening, the French did invite in Hollywood as their alternative to the fascist powers, and Hollywood has proved harder to get rid of and is now in the midst of its latest attempt to overwhelm European film production through Netflix and Amazon and the coming of streaming services, especially Disney, now merged with Fox, and Warner AT&T. The threat of the streaming services and their massive invasion to come, aligned with the impending arrival of 5G to enhance streaming, hovers in the background of this edition of the festival, as Netflix is still, somewhat foolishly, banned from the main competition, though all the streaming services are very active, if not above ground in the competition at the Palais, then below ground in the market, where they are gobbling up product for their onslaught to come. Vesprez, Pierre Lescure, is very savvy about the potential to simply short-circuit the distribution process of theater to television to DVD to video on demand by simply releasing worldwide and streaming. And he pleaded with Disney to be lenient on this distribution chain and respect its own stake in theatrical releases. It's not likely that plea will be answered. The other specter that haunts the festival this year is that of the 50th anniversary of Cannes 1969, a year after the festival was halted by directors Jean-Luc Godard and François Truffaut, who asked in the wake of the 68 Paris student protests against Vietnam, why speak about cinema when the world is burning? 69 carried that rebellion into the theaters and was the year of If, Easy Rider, the emergence of the Brazilian Cinema Nuovo, and the Cannes winner Costa Gavras's political anti-Greek dictatorship thriller Z. This year, filmmakers have on their minds two overwhelming questions. One is inequality and the increasing gap in income, not only between North and South in the globe, but everywhere between rich and poor. Addressed metaphorically in Bacaro, and directly in Ken Loach's masterful examination of the gig economy, Sorry We Missed You. And the second is climate change, or more accurately, climate destruction, addressed in The Dead Don't Die. Variety did not like Jim Jarmusch's zombie film, finding that it did not advance the genre and add yet more heightened zombie thrills or more rampant splatter thrills. More likely, what the trade publication did not appreciate was the way it did not advance the genre, making the politics of the zombie film explicit, calling attention to itself as a vehicle to break the fourth wall and being enacted by a cast of outsiders who magnified the genre's subversive potential and lifted it out of the apocalyptic for the thrill of it Walking Dead approach. The zombie outbreak is caused by polar fracking, impacting Trump's America in the remote and average town of Centerville. The zombies themselves, both victims and then victimizers of the climate catastrophe, are also imprinted with the material memory of their strongest desire, which is often simply their favorite commodity. Thus, Iggy Pop's premier zombie over and over intones the word coffee, while later zombies mention Chardonnay and Wi-Fi. It's true that George Romero has covered this ground in Night of the Living and Dawn of the Dead, but Jarmusch in Breaking the Fourth Wall, Adam Driver's lanky, hayseed cop keeps predicting it will end badly because he finally reveals he read it in the script. This is pointing to the fact that the political content of the film is more important than playing referential games, though they are there in abundance. Tom Waits' Hermit comments on the action of humanity in the thralls of destroying and then feasting on itself as the world goes to hell in a handbasket, in a role that is much like what his songs accomplish outside the film. Another stunning metaphor was that of Kleber Mendonça Filho's Bacaru, about a remote village in northern Brazil, site of massive slave uprisings in the country's history, and always a seat of rebellion, now against the U.S.-inspired ultra-right-wing regime of Jair Bolsonaro. The village has had its first had its water supply cut off by a corrupt politician of a larger township, and then faces invasion from the sky and the ground, first by armed motorcyclists from Sao Paulo, the financial capital, and then by European and American hunters out for sport. The film cannily mixes Brazilian folklore from the Cinema Nuovo era. One of the producers is Carlos de Guth, whose Quilombo charted the history of the slave rebellion in the North, with cheesy 50 science fiction in a flying saucer drone and the use of that era's wipes between scenes, and Sergio Leone style close-ups in a battle scene about the Southern Hemisphere's resistance to this new, now technologically driven invasion from the North. Mendonça Filho was last seen at Cannes with Aquarius, featuring an aging Sonia Braga battling a rapacious landlord, where he protested the coup that ousted Dina Rousseff and led eventually to the installation of Bolsonaro. This is a much tougher, harder, violent film, but perfect for a time when the struggle in Brazil has hardened as well, with Bolsonaro declaring war on Brazil's environment and indigenous peoples. Also exhibiting this harder moment is the American indie Bull, which we assume is going to be about the triumph of a poor Texas teenager who eventually fulfills her dream of riding in the rodeo. That film, director Annie Silverstein has decided, belongs to the not-too-distant past. Instead, the story centered on the girl's battle to remove herself from selling drugs in the wake of the OxyContin epidemic and her own prejudice about being befriended by a Black ex-cowboy in order to be able to just get in the saddle. The narrative, though it does end in a glimmer of hope, displays the way the American success story for the poor may instead play itself out now as agony and defeat. Just a word now and more later about two films which do not employ metaphor but use the genres of documentary and socially conscious cinema to make explicit the criticism of the inequality spawned in the neoliberal era. One is a film not in competition but which should have been, the market entry Capital in the 21st Century, based on Thomas Piketty's book, with Piketty explaining that the level of inequality in this century sets back the clock and begins to look like the aristocratic colonial era of pre-World War I, a condition that this film, which is expertly peppered with film clips, concerned economists, and graphics, claims also sets up for the kind of population that brought Hitler to power. Finally, there is Ken Loach's stunning examination of the gig economy from the point of view of a male and female worker and their family caught in it in Sorry to Have Missed You. Loach's focus on how a delivery worker is oppressed by a system that supposedly makes him his own boss, finally leading to exhaustion at every level, shuns genre emphasis on the catastrophe, but is the most eloquent depiction of what the pressure of the gig economy, where the most precious work tool is the bottle the driver is given to pee in so he doesn't lose time and wages by taking a bathroom break. What this does to those supposed to remain faceless and invisible workers who are now subjugated totally to its algorithms. Cannes 2019 so far is an on-screen dose of reality in both its genre and more realistic films. Next week, more Ken Loach, plus Korean horror from Bong Joon-ho and Chinese noir from Black Coal's Diao Yinan. I can't wait. Hope you can't either. This is Bro on the World Film Beat, breaking glass and signing off from Cannes 2019. Oh,
change your mind. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute.